reading. It says, John chapter 18, verses 1 through 3, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden, into the which he entered and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place. For Jesus ofttimes resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. And the phrase that I want to focus on today for a little while is that phrase, Judas, which betrayed him, knew the place. Knew the place. Everybody say with me, Judas knew the place. Let's say it again. Judas knew the place. Praise God. How many of you want the Lord to speak to you today in this service? Could we lift our hands and our voices one more time and ask for God's blessings upon his word? Hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. Love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. 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 Hallelujah. 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 We need your presence, Jesus. We need your presence, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Amen. Oh God, is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. God answers prayer. God answers prayer. God answers prayer. He's so good to me. One more time. Oh, God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. Praise the Lord, 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 praise the Lord. Just before Jesus, not long before Jesus was taken, betrayed by Judas and taken to be crucified, the Bible tells us that Jesus was in the house of a man by the name of Simon the leper. Yes. And it was near the end of his ministry. And that was where the woman poured the oil on his feet. Yes. And washed and on his head and washed his feet with her hair. You've all heard that story. John's gospel puts it like this. It says, then took Mary, and identifies her as Mary. It says, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son. And I believe, by the way, personally, that this is actually Simon the leper, whose house he was in. Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone, against the day of my burying hath she kept this. One of the other gospels says that it was actually Simon himself who questioned in his heart about the fact that this woman was touching Jesus. And he said, if this man was a prophet in his heart, if he knew what manner of woman this was, he wouldn't allow her to touch him. And Jesus actually rebuked Simon. I think that there's a lot of strong evidence here that that what took place is this is in the house, in Judas's home, the home of his father. And both Judas and his daddy get rebuked by Jesus. That's pretty strong. Because the Bible says that it was at this moment, right after that happened, that Judas made his decision that he was going to betray Jesus. Brother Travis, he got his feelings hurt. Somebody talked bad about his daddy. Somebody disrespected his father and disrespected him. And so Judas left the house and he went to find the priests so that he could deliver Jesus over to them for 30 pieces of silver. And our scripture text said that they crossed over when Jesus, before Jesus was betrayed, that he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron. And I want to kind of give you a little bit of a chart here to understand the basic geography of this. This is the temple where the Temple Mount, they call it, where the mountain that the temple was actually on. This is Jerusalem. These are the old walls of Jerusalem. And this is the Mount of Olives. And this on the side of the Mount of Olives is the Garden of Gethsemane where Jesus prayed. And this is the brook Kidron. This is a valley between those two mountains. And you could go up here on the Mount of Olives and you could look over the valley and you can clearly see the temple across the valley from where you are. And this was a place, by the way, this was where they offered up the sacrifices. This was where the temple was, the Ark of the Covenant. This was the holy place. It basically represented and symbolized the presence of God. And Jesus, in the course of his ministry, we read that he frequently crossed over this valley and over this brook to get over here to the Mount of Olives and to the Garden of Gethsemane to where he could spend some alone time and some peaceful time. And so it was a place that held a special attraction for Jesus. When we think about the Garden of Gethsemane, we oftentimes just equate it with Jesus' prayer in the garden about how that he prayed there before he was crucified. The reality is, the Bible tells us he went there a lot. And he prayed there a lot. He spent a lot of time there. So it had to be a peaceful place. And it had to be a beautiful place. And the Bible says that Jesus was accustomed to going there. He would spend his days oftentimes in the temple teaching and preaching to the crowds. But when he finished with the crowds, the Bible said that he would take his disciples, just his disciples, and he would cross over the brook, the brook of Kidron, and he would take them into the Garden of Gethsemane, and it was there that he would pray, he would teach his disciples. Now remember, he taught the multitudes in the crowd, in the temple. But he would teach his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane there on the side of the mountain. Amen. Praise God. I believe, much like today, that when you think about the people that were in the temple, watching to see what Jesus was going to do and what miracle he was going to perform, I think that many of those people were just there for to be fed or to receive something or to be entertained. How many of you understand that crowds draw crowds, right? Wherever everybody, oh, you're going to the temple, I guess I'll go too. Everybody's going to be there. And so people would go to see what was going to happen and what Jesus was going to do. But not everybody was willing to cross the brook and climb the mountain to get to the secret place. Amen. I can't find a single place, and I searched, I looked. I can't find a single place where Jesus ever taught the multitudes on the Mount of Olives. I can't find a single place where Jesus ever sat down and the crowds climbed the mountain with him. The Bible says that there were times that he came down off of the mountain and the crowds met him at the bottom. But not everybody was willing to actually climb the mountain to hear what he had to say. Not everybody was willing to spend some time in the garden with him and pray with him. You see, the mountain and the garden were for the committed disciples only. And listen to me, the symbolism of that today that I want you to get out of this is if you want the power to work the miracles, it starts on the mountain and in the garden. Amen. Because it's in the garden. It's in the garden that you die to the flesh. I know that Jesus had no sin to repent of. But I still know that even for Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible said that he prayed as it were, and the sweat poured off of his brow as it were great drops of blood. And the Bible says that there praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, that even the sinless man had to say, "Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Amen. I'm telling you today that if you want to get to the place where you can work the miracles like Jesus worked the miracles, it starts with climbing a mountain. And it starts with finding yourself alone in a garden and saying, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Praise God. Crossing that water, crossing that symbolism, or that brook. The Bible said that the children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, Egypt was a type of their sin. And when they came out of Egypt, the Bible said that they passed through the Red Sea. And that Red Sea was symbolic of a death and a burial. Amen. It was symbolic of a baptism. I think one of the things that Jesus was teaching his disciples is every time when we cross this brook, this river, I want you to remember that there needs to be a baptism or a burial in your life. And you surrender what you used to be over in the garden, but then you can cross through the river and you're able to work the miracles on the other side. Hallelujah. If you pass through the water, if you pass through the river, if you pass through the waters of baptism and burying the old man and the old person that you used to be, then you'll be able to go into the holiest of holies and the high place and find what God really wants to do in your life. Praise God. Praise God. But the Bible says, in our scripture text, the Bible says that Judas knew the place well. Judas knew that this garden was the one place where Jesus could get away from the crowds. And that's why he took the soldiers there. Because, oh, you're looking for Jesus? You want to know where to find him? Let me take you where to find him. Because he's going to go to this place to get away from everybody. How many of you understand today that betrayal is always painful? But it is especially painful when it comes from somebody that you have allowed into your safe place. Jesus had allowed Judas into his special place. The book of Psalms prophesies of it and says it like this, prophesying of the Messiah. He said, "Yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me." What is this verse saying? He said, I see. Judas, you weren't just anybody else. We sat on the mountainside together and in the garden together, and we broke bread together. He said in Psalm 55, "It was not an enemy that reproached me, that I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me, that I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man my equal, my guide, mine acquaintance, one of my 12, one of my disciples. And he said, we took sweet counsel together and we walked into the house of God in company. Judas knew the place. Judas knew it well. It was a place where he had shared a lot of private moments with Jesus over the years. It was a place where Jesus taught his disciples when he wouldn't tell anybody else. The Bible says, I'm trying to tell you what the Bible says. Jesus would go down below and he would teach the multitudes and the crowds in parables, and they had no idea what he was saying. And then he would retire up to the mountain and he'd get up on the Mount of Olives. And Brother Bobby, just his disciples would come and sit at his feet, and they'd say, what did you mean in that lesson that you taught down there? And Jesus would say, I'm going to show you some things that I'm not showing everybody else. I'm going to teach you some secrets that everybody else, you know why? They didn't want to climb the mountain when it was time to come up the mountain to hear what I have to say. I gave them enough just to whet their appetite. I gave them the opportunity. I gave them the chance, and they're not willing to climb the mountain and get more. But Judas was there. Judas was there. Jesus talked to his disciples on the mountain about the end of time, about the tribulation. He explained, it was up on the mountain that he explained to them about the parable of the talents. It was on the mountain that Jesus explained to his disciples the parable of the five wives and the five foolish virgins. It was on the mountain that Jesus explained to them the parable of the sower of the seed. It was a place that they had prayed together. When the Lord's disciples, when they heard Jesus pray, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Where did they hear him pray? They heard him pray in the garden. They heard him pray on the mountain. It was a place of good times with Jesus. And the Bible says that Judas knew the place. He was one of the very small group that had been invited. He had been invited into the presence of God. And he betrayed God. I know this is not a shout and dance and run and holler, but I got to go with what I feel. He was invited, listen to me folks, he was invited into the secret place of the Most High. And he threw it away for 30 pieces of silver. How could somebody who shared so much with Jesus betray him? How could somebody who saw the miracles, my God, Brother Randall, how could somebody? I think if you were to ask me, if you were to say, Mike Crocker, if you could go back in history and recreate any event in the history of time, what would it be? I would like to think that I would say, let me for just 1 hour be in the Garden of Gethsemane and hear Jesus pray. How can you go into the garden with him and hear him pray and then turn your back on him like that? How could somebody that ate with him, camped out under the stars with him, drank with him, and probably even wept with him, betray him? And you know something, folks? I hate to tell you this. It's easy for us to ask that question. But how many times do we do the same thing in the church? What are you saying? I'm saying, how many times do we shout and run the aisles, dance in the spirit? I have witnessed people before who have had a strong prayer life and then turned and walked away from God and forsook him. I have witnessed people who have known the place of God well. people that have spent hours in His presence, people that have been slain in the Spirit, as we say sometimes, in a figurative sense, you could say that these are people who have walked through the Garden of Gethsemane with Jesus. They even sing songs like, I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses. And the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses in him. We say, and he walks with me, and he talks with me. They sing it, and then they betray him. You can think what you want to think today, but I don't think that Judas ever, and I'm going to show you why, I don't think Judas ever intended for lasting harm to come to Jesus. Because Mark 14:44 says Judas asked the rulers to take him safely. Matthew 27:3 says that when Judas saw that Jesus was condemned to death, he tried to undo what he had done. He tried to give the money back. And they refused it, and he went out and he hanged himself. I think Judas thought, well, I'll turn him over. They'll have some kind of a trial. Everybody knows the man's not guilty. What Judas did not foresee was the fact that the trial would be a show trial and a sham trial. And he thought, everybody knows he's a good man. Everybody knows he's not guilty. They'll put him on trial. I'll get my money, and Jesus will walk scot-free. He didn't expect Jesus to actually be crucified. And so the actions that Judas took, committing suicide and all these things, these are not the actions of a man that expected things to turn out the way that they did. But you see, even after he spent so much time with Jesus, he was still blinded by his own greed. And if you think, listen to me, folks, I know this is a sobering thought today, but sometimes we need to be sobered up. If you think that you are immune, just remember Judas walked with him, broke bread with him, prayed with him, heard him pray, and still betrayed him. And if you think that that can't happen to you, the Bible says, let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. Judas heard the lessons that he taught, saw the miracles that he performed, and still Satan was able to deceive him. How many people betray Jesus every day, but they never intentionally do it? They say, I would never do it, but yet they do. You know what the word says? This is hard. This is a hard pill to swallow, but it's the word anyway. Hebrews 6:4-6, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. He's not talking here about people who are struggling and people who make mistakes and people who fall, but he is talking about people who walk away after they were once enlightened, after they have received the revelation of who Jesus is, after they have been baptized in his name, gone down in the waters in his name. Maybe they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Maybe they spoke in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. They have tasted, the Bible said, they've tasted of the heavenly gift. They were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. They have tasted the good word of God, and yet they turned their back on it. I don't say this to boast today, but you've heard the word of God here. Amen? I've done my best to never shirk my duty to preach the whole word of God, not just the comfortable parts. And he said, but they have tasted the good word of God. We have all in this place tasted of the good word of God. He said, they have tasted the powers of the world to come. They know what heaven will be like because they've experienced it in the Holy Ghost here. They've walked, they've talked, they've prayed in the garden with Jesus. They have amened the preachers. They have shouted with others. Some of them shouted with joy as the word of God went forth. In other words, like Judas, they know the place. And they know it well. And yet through all of this, they choose to walk away. That sobers me up sometimes when I think about Brother Curry. The Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. And as we sit here in our Holy Ghost-filled services and we enjoy the presence of God and we sometimes shout and we speak in tongues, yes, but always remember this. When you have been in the secret place with God, that others may never come in. There are billions of people around this world who've not experienced what we have experienced in the power of the Holy Ghost. Who's going to be judged the more severely when we stand before God if we dare turn our back on what we know? Amen. Amen. He said, Jude, through all of this, they pull away from God. You know what Paul said about Demas? He said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. He walked with Paul. He taught with Paul. He was one of Paul's compatriots. And yet the Bible said that the pull of the world was still too strong on him. I hope and I pray today that we will make up our minds that no matter what the cost, no matter what the price, that we have spent too long in the presence of the Holy for us to turn our back on God today and to walk away from it. And if Judas fell away, if Demas fell away, who do we think we are? The Bible said they crucified themselves, the Son of God afresh, putting him to an open shame. They tell you that they love God. Some of them still may tell you that they love God, just like Judas, the Bible said, kissed Jesus in the garden. Sometimes they tell you they'll get back in church. But the Bible said they crucify the Son of God afresh. One of our problems today, and I'm telling you this, I know you say, I'm here today. Yeah, but I know, but we're also looking toward the future too. One of the problems with us, and I'm about to close here in just a minute. One of the problems with us is because we go to the secret place of God so often, if we are not careful, we will start to take it for granted. What are you trying to say? What I'm trying to say is when we start to take, you know, Judas was there with Jesus in the garden, there with Jesus on the mountain. What about when we sing songs like, I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses? But what happens when the garden loses its beauty and its wonder to us, and we just aren't impressed anymore? I think to myself, sometimes we come to church, and I know this happens, and you know, Sister Amanda and I have talked about it before, but sometimes we come to church and sometimes it feels like it's a struggle to get the praise and worship going. And we're not going to shout every service. I get that. But whether we shout or whether we don't shout, whether the Holy Ghost moves and we, all of us, are knocked out in the Holy Ghost, or whether it happens or whether it doesn't happen, I pray to God that we will never get to the place in this church where we come to the church house and do not have a sense of wonder and a sense of appreciation for the fact that of all of the places that God could be today, of all of the stadiums that God could be in, of all the millions of people who are out there and in the White House and all of the castles and the palaces around the world, the King of Glory and the ruler of the universe has seen fit to come down into this little place today and has seen fit to come here and be in our and to be in church with us and to bless us and to touch us again. I don't ever want to take the garden for granted. I don't ever want to get to a place where I say, Lord, oh, it's just another service. It's just another song. I believe that every song ought to hold that same power and that same wonder for you that it once did. Don't let the garden be just another garden. You know, so many times that new convert comes and they just, and we ought to be ashamed of ourselves as children of God. I've been in church services before where the old fogies, and I count myself amongst us, Come on now. I'm preaching to us. Me. You. All of us. Where we come to church and we're just going through the motions. And we're singing another song and we're singing another song and we're just mouthing the words and nothing. Our minds are a million miles away. What am I going to eat after church today? Where am I going to go? What am I going to do? Well, I got a busy week this week. And then I look back and I'll see a visitor who's never been in a Holy Ghost filled service before. Tears streaming down their face. And meanwhile, we're just lollygagging around, having our own good time. And yet that sinner, because they have never been in the presence of the Holy Ghost before, they're feeling something that they never felt before. And there's a sense of wonder and a sense of appreciation. And they're thinking to themselves, my God, the presence of the Lord is in this place. And these people don't even seem to realize it. Because we got used to it. It becomes too easy to make light of the garden and make light of the Holy Ghost and make light of the anointed preaching of the Word. It scares me. I even see on social media sometimes some ex-Pentecostals literally mocking the things of the Holy Ghost. What a fearful thing that is. People who have been in the presence of God, who have been in the garden, been on the mountain, and yet can turn around and point their finger back at it and say there was nothing to it. Once upon a time, they reverenced the word of the Lord. They reverenced the preacher, the word of God as it went forth, but now their conscience has become seared with a hot iron. And if they go to church at all, the word and the preacher is expected to just be an entertainer instead of somebody who watches for your soul that they must give account. And I'll close with this. Falling away from God is never an overnight process. And it begins a step at a time. I read a story about a hiker in Canada, and he was up way up in the mountains, and the snow was falling and there was a blizzard coming in. And he found a cabin, he and his dog. He found a cabin, but his clothes were wet and he was tired. And he didn't bother to build the fire and he didn't bother to take even his wet clothes off because he was almost in a state of stupor from the cold. All he wanted to do was lay down and go to sleep. And he lay down and he started to go to sleep. After a few minutes, his Saint Bernard, carefully trained in how to save lives in those environments, that Saint Bernard started just madly licking at his face and barking in his face. And the man eventually woke up and the dog saved his life. But in recounting the story, the man said this. He said, had the dog not been there, I'd be dead today. Because when you're freezing to death, you actually feel warm all over. And you don't wake up because it feels too good. How many times, how many people has the enemy wrapped up in a cocoon and made them feel like everything was just fine when the reality was they were freezing to death? A nephew of mine many years ago backslid, walked away from God. I talked to him about it later on, and he gave me a quote that I've never forgotten. I said, what happened? And all he said to me was, it happened so slow, I never even noticed it. Amen. Somebody needs to make up your mind today. Praise God. Could you lift your hands and your voices to the Lord? Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Don't let it become commonplace to you. You know the place too well. You know what I'm talking about. You've been on the mountain with Jesus. You've walked through some fire with the Lord, and He's walked with you hand in hand. He's carried you through the trials. The enemy right now is perched up on your shoulder, said, "What use is it? Just give up. What use is it? Just turn around." But the voice of the Lord speaking today says, "Hold on. Hold on. Stand with me if you will." Hallelujah. Hold on. Hold on. Praise God. Praise God. Lift your hands and your voices to the Lord.
Falling in love.
Hallelujah.
With Jesus.
Falling in love.
Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus is the best thing I've ever done. Oh, falling in love with Jesus. Is the best thing.
If anybody like to come and pray, these altars are open. Hallelujah. If you like to come and pray, the altars are open.
Oh, in His arms I feel protected.
Yes,
in His arms I'm never disconnected. In His arms I feel protected,
and there's no place I'd rather be. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Falling in love with Jesus.
Oh, falling in love. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's everybody find a place to pray. Men on my right, ladies on my left. Men on my right, ladies on my left. Let's everybody find a place to pray. Hallelujah.
It's the best thing I've ever done.